Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Oil Spills Podcast. We're in mid-July. I'm host Craig Ellingson. I'm with Hockey Hall of Fame writer Jim Matheson. We're talking today about the Pacific Division. The rivals, you know, Oilers rivals in the Pacific Division. There are seven teams that are in the division with Edmonton. Seattle will be added eventually. We're talking today about every team's situation right now. In the off season, with free agency 2 weeks gone, we are recording this a little earlier, just because of holidays and stuff like that. So who knows? Maybe one of these teams will make a splash or make a minor deal that will, you know, trump everything we're saying. But we'll just take that chance. So anyway, I'm gonna just quiz Jim Matheson, just shoot out names. I'll go alphabetically, team wise. You know, I'll say Anaheim Ducks. I mean, they made some minor signings. They signed Anthony Stolarz, you know, former Oilers goalie, but, you know, outside of trading away Nicholas Delorier to Montreal and signing Dallas Eakins and bringing in Daryl Sutter as an advisor. So in case Eakins goes sideways right away and he can step behind the bench.
And they lost Corey Perry. Mm-hmm. They're kind of in between a changing on the fly and rebuild. And I think when you're the Anaheim Ducks and you have a fan base there that has been fairly successful, I don't think you can tear it down. I think they're trying to build on the fly, counting a lot of their minor league players, Sam Steele being one of them from Sherwood Park, and some kids they called up during the year who were on San Diego, the team that beat Bakersfield in the playoffs, coming up and taking a lot of those responsibilities. You're right. Their biggest move in the offseason has been signing Dallas Eakins to be the head coach, their minor league coach, and now he's the head coach. So we'll see. I didn't like their team last year. I thought they looked slow in, you know, with the game got faster and some of their players, like certainly Corey Perry, who had the knee problems and then came back later in the year, and Getzlaff, same thing. They look slower now. Are they going to be better? I don't think it. I don't think so. I guess their key is their goalie, John Gibson, who in the first half last year was tremendous, and then the sheer weight of trying to carry a team wore him down. I don't see them being in the playoffs.
And a player like Ryan Getzlaff is only getting older as well. I mean, obviously, you know, you mentioned Sam Steele. There is a new crop of players in the Ducks system, and clearly they're transitioning to Eakins being the coach because he has been coaching a lot of the players they're going to be bringing up and putting into bigger roles.
Yeah, I mean, last year they even traded Andrew Cogliano, one of their most popular players during the season, for, you know, just because he was 30 years old, and said, well, we got to get younger. And then Perry's gone. So they know that in Getzlaff too, he's their captain, but he's mid-30s now. And I don't see him catching lightning in a bottle and suddenly becoming a 70-point player anymore. He's also been hurt a fair bit. So they're counting on a lot of their kids from San Diego coming up and proving things. But they're used to have the best defense, them and Nashville, their top four defensemen. But they've been trading Sammy Vatanen away, Montour away. Their defense isn't anywhere near as good as it used to be. They still have Lindholm and Cam Fowler, but their defense is nowhere near as good as it used to be.
I guess you can probably compare that defense a little bit to the Oilers, since the Oilers are kind of faced with the same thing. If they do indeed move out a defenseman like Russell or Matt or Benning.
I don't think you. I think you can get by with not enough forwards. You can't get by with enough not enough defensemen. And you find out pretty quickly that you just overwork, you know, your top four, and then you wear them out, and then somebody gets hurt, and then you're in trouble. Which is the problem the Oilers got. You know, they have three for sures if Larson bounces back in the top four, but then is Russell a top four guy? Is Benning a top four guy? So they're missing one who can you for sure is a top four guy. And maybe that's why they're counting on their goalie so much. I think Dallas is probably going to go in there and says, we got to try to play like Barry Trotz last year in Long Island and try to win games low scoring because we've got a really good goalie. Try to win them that way.
Moving on to the Arizona Coyotes. We'll do this alphabetically. You know, their biggest move was a trade. They acquired Phil Kessel from the Penguins, essentially for Alex Galchenyuk. So what does that move do for Arizona?
Well, I think it's a marketplace that needs fans. I think Kessel's got a name. I think they've had good players, but they haven't had a home run hitter. And I think Kessel can score goals. I think he's still got quite a bit left. He doesn't get hurt. He's got one of the longer Ironman streaks, might have the longest one in the league right now, so he doesn't get hurt. In Galchenyuk's case, they gave up a player. The problem with trading Galchenyuk is really it's Max Domi for Phil Kessel, because you traded Max Domi, who was very good in Montreal last year, for Galchenyuk, who still has question marks, but you managed to get Kessel because that was the only team Pittsburgh could trade him to. He'd listed off teams he wouldn't play for, and he wanted to play in Arizona, and they fortunately found a player that they could get back for Phil Kessel without just giving him away. So they're better. One thing about John Chayka, he makes some sort of move, but once a week. And I guess if you're in Arizona, you got to try to keep improving things. You know, they still need a first-line center. They don't have a first-line center, I don't think, a true first-line center. But it's still, they've got some good young players, and now they've got Phil Kessel. So they're better, I think, than they were, as long as Ranta can come back and play with Kemper and goal. I think they're and they got a pretty good defense. So they're better than the Oilers right now.
And that's the one thing I would wonder about Kessel, is he doesn't have that first line center to play with. He doesn't have a Crosby or a Malkin as a center.
I guess they're probably counting on Derek Stepan, who's a second line center, second to third line center now, being the first line center with Keller and Kessel. So, but on paper, they still look better than the Oilers. So right now, anyway, and they almost made the playoffs last year with Rick Tocchet. The Oilers were somewhat south of Arizona.
Yeah, you know, Tocchet, I mean, obviously Barry Trotz had a heck of a year in Long Island, but, you know, any other year, Rick Tocchet would have won the Adams Award.
Yep, and their team hung in there a lot longer than most people thought. Because I think they, in the second half of the year, they got into a playoff mode, and they played this whole second half of the year like there was a playoffs, and they hung in as long as they possibly could, but they were too far behind and then couldn't pick up enough ground, and you needed too many points, and they were a little too far behind. But it used to be when you watched Arizona play, you'd say, not much there, but now they're competitive, as very competitive in pretty much every game they play. And I think they've got, with Kessel, he likes Rick Tocchet from Pittsburgh. I've seen no reason why Kessel can't get 70, 80, 90 points there if he's on the first line, on the first power play unit all the time.
Moving on to the Calgary Flames, so they didn't have to do very much. I mean, essentially, there's some Edmonton flavorings. They added Cam Talbot as a goal, in goal. You know, David Rittich is still yet to sign with Calgary, but they'll get him under contract, so they'll have that tandem in net. That's the only major signing that
they tried to get Jason Zucker from Minnesota. Thought they had a deal, didn't come off. It was going to be Michael Frolik and Sam Bennett, and it didn't come off. They still could use one more scorer. at forward after losing Ferland, who's a pretty capable player, to Carolina. I think they hit a they did very well, you know, with the trade with Carolina, trading Dougie Hamilton. Lindholm was terrific, but then he seemed to run out of gas, didn't play so well in the playoffs, and didn't play so well late in the year, Elias Lindholm, which kind of hurt him. But, you know, they're very solid. TJ Brody is in play, too, to get, a forward. I think their defense is their strength, as long as Giordano can keep playing. They didn't have to do much because they had a really good team. And they had some players on their minor league team that can come up, Dylan Dubé and stuff. I think they'll miss Garnet Hathaway, who signed in Washington. He's a disturber. He always looked good in the Battle of Alberta's. He's kind of a perfect fourth-line player who stirs up trouble. I think they'll miss him. But they don't have too many holes.
No, I mean, I was going to make mention of all the minor Edmonton-ish connections. Like, you know, Brandon Davidson signed a two-way deal with them. So we'll see if he manages to have a seventh defenseman role or, you know, play down in the AHL on their Stockton team. You know, and other, you know, Curtis Lazar was not tendered a RFA offer, nor was, of course, he's a former Oil Kings star. Same with Brett Pollock. You know, and Josh Healy's a Edmonton native, but... Anyway, I had to throw an Edmonton thing in there just because it is
the
Battle of Alberta.
They did what they had to do. If they were going to lose Mike Smith, they needed another experienced goalie to play with Rittich, and they got one in Cam Talbot.
So, I think it was clear that Talbot liked Alberta.
Yeah, and the owners are paying Smith $2 million with a bunch of bonuses to get him up to three, and Calgary's paying $2.75 million for 1 year for Cam Talbot. So they did what they had to do to replace the goalie. And they still need a goal scorer somehow. They still, if they could get a really good goal scorer in a trade for one of their defensemen, because, you know, Rasmus Anderson, he was really good. I think he's a top four pairing guy now who can replace Brody, I think. And as long as the key there is Giordano. He drives their team. He drives their team from the back end. As long as he keeps playing like a guy who won the Norris Trophy, their defense is better than most defenses in the NHL.
You know, we'll get to San Jose and Vegas, but, you know, Calgary and those two teams are pretty much locks to make the playoffs. At this juncture, we'll see what happens before the season starts. But, you know, like you said, they didn't have to make a lot of changes to their roster at all.
The good teams don't have to make many.
No.
You know, the good teams can take a look at how they played in the playoffs and says, oh, we didn't, something happened here between.
Yeah, they can nibble around the edges and be fine.
Yeah. You know, James Neal is the question mark there. He was terrible last year and they still got tons, you know, they still were in the playoffs weeks before the playoffs started, even with nothing from James Neal. I mean, if Neal somehow comes back and plays like Neal can play, I guess they figure they don't need a winger. They just have James Neal. But for now, James Neal is everybody as much of a question mark as Lucic is here.
Like what you heard today? Get more of the Edmonton Journals and the Edmonton Sun's award-winning journalism complimentary for 30 days at edmontonjournal.com/podcast or edmontonsun.com/podcast. Or both. Why not? Moving on to the LA Kings. The big news there is, you know, the new coach, who is the former Oilers coach, Todd McLellan. They recently added, predictably, one of his assistants from Edmonton last year, Trent Yanni. But the LA Kings are clearly in rebuild mode.
I think LA could finish last in the division myself. There's not much there. A lot of their forwards are older forwards.
Yeah. Older roster period.
Older roster. It's an older roster. Is Kopitar on, you know, in the back nine of his career now? He's been such a good player as their captain. Drew Doughty is, you know, has played so many minutes on defense. How much more can he do to drive the team?
You see the same for Jonathan Quick as
And Jonathan Quick. I'd have bet $100 they would have traded Jonathan Quick. I thought they would trade Jonathan Quick actually at the trading deadline last year to a team. I thought there would be some team this like Columbus. I thought Columbus, if they're going to lose Bobrovsky, would be all over Jonathan Quick and say, well, we got to have a goalie, but they're going to go with two young goalies and for now and see how that works. And I guess it's nice to have Quick behind not a very good team and hope that, you know, he bails you out. But that's a very old team where you've still got Dustin Brown as a good player, but he's mid-30s.
You know, big signing from last year is Ilya Kovalchuk.
And he did nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll do anything anymore. Toffoli has been a good player, but didn't play very well last year. That's the worst team in the league, and it's a slow team, which is why Rob Blake didn't even hesitate to use there's no changing on the fly here. They're in a rebuild.
Obviously, Todd McClellan, you know, you take jobs when you can get them. Of course, he was mentioned for the Buffalo job as well, but, you know, clearly going back to California had an appeal for him.
Buffalo in the winter or LA in the winter? The money's still awfully good.
Yeah.
Buffalo's not exactly a playoff team either.
Moving on to the San Jose Sharks, up the California coast, where things are a completely different situation. You talked about it the last podcast. The Sharks have cap room right now.
Not much, but they still have enough to sign forward.
Even after Meyer and Carlson.
Yeah, even after that, they still have enough money. It's still about, I don't know how much it is, but they have enough money to sign a $2.5 million forward. And there's been lots of talk that they'll sign Marlowe again for low money, $1 million a year. But he's his time in his career, he's a third to fourth line player now. And I know he's from San Jose and you'd love to play back there for one more year. But they have enough money to sign a Zingle or somebody like that. And, you know, I think Doug Wilson is in the top three GMs in the league.
It has been for a long time.
His teams stay competitive, even though
decade plus
players leave, players come back. If it doesn't seem like he misses out on very much. He had to keep Carlson and he kept Carlson, even knowing how much Burns and Vlasic make, he somehow kept Carlson. So then he finds a team that'll take Justin Braun, his $3.9 million. So he trades him. The year before he needed forwards, and he got Evander Kane on a rental and signed Evander Kane. Timo Meier is, with Hurdle, I think, are their two best young players. And Meier's contract came up, and everybody thought, oh, this is going to cost you $8.5 million or something. No. He got a four-year deal that averages at $6 million. And Kevin LeBanc had 56 points last year in San Jose. Everybody thought, oh, he's a $4 million player. No, he got him for $1 million. Now, this is LeBanc gambling on himself rather than sign a two-year, $2.5 million deal, thinking, okay, if I get 56 points again, I'm making $5 million next year. But San Jose gets the players, keeps the players, and stays competitive. I don't think their goaltending's all that great. It's pretty average with Martin Jones, who, although he did play good in the playoffs, didn't play terrific in the regular season. But that would be the only thing in their team where you go, oh, I don't like their goaltending is just average. The team is really good. They're competitive. They lost Pavelski, which is going to be a huge blow, obviously. Just couldn't afford him.
I was going to bring up Pavelski, and Joe Thornton is still
unsigned.
And
Thornton will sign for whatever.
For less than $5 million last year.
For less than, you'll get some bonuses and stuff, and he'll be back as a third line center. And they've still got Couture and Hurdle as their top two centers. They could use a winger who could score a goal, which is why it wouldn't surprise me one bit if suddenly in the next 2 weeks they sign Zingle for 1 year at $2.5 million and say, thank you very much. Because everybody wants to go play in San Jose. It's a nice place to play. Weather's good. Team's good.
Yeah, we can talk about Pavelski some other time. Because
don't miss his leadership.
Yeah, but he's in Dallas now.
Couture will be the captain now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those ones where his age betrayed him. you know, he's mid-30s. If he was only 30 years old, they'd have found some way to keep him, but he's mid-30s, and they just couldn't at $7 million a year.
Under the Vancouver Canucks, of course, they made splash in free agency. They signed Tyler Myers, unrestricted free agent defenseman who had played with Winnipeg. They also signed Jordy Benn, among others. They still need to sign Brock Besser to a contract, restricted free agents, you know, one of the stars of the team.
Brock Besser probably looked at that Timo Meier contract and said, what? You know, I think he was kind of counting on more than $6 million, but now that's kind of in the, I mean, Jeff Skinner's contract is an outlier. I have no idea why Buffalo's given him $9 million a year. But as young players go, I think the Timo Meier contract is Brock Besser, and they're probably thinking, hey, 4 years, $24 million, you know, and that's the contract. And they'll try to outweigh Besser. Vancouver, you know, they got not a bad team. Myers will help their defense for sure. He can play lots of minutes. They got Edler signed again. He's a good player. I guess Ben replaces Hutton, who's Ben Hutton they haven't signed. You know, it's as long as the goalie Markstrom can play as well as he did last year, he kind of proved everybody wrong. He was kind of like Leonard. He proved that he was an actual starter last year. I think they've improved themselves.
And the Vegas Golden Knights, they were darlings last year and obviously one of the best teams in the Western Conference. Oh, sorry, their debut year two seasons ago. I have to shift my mind into 1920 mode here.
Everybody thought their bottom would completely fall out after they got to the Stanley Cup final and they wouldn't make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. Right. They got lots of points. They weren't as good because they didn't have a backup goalie that could help out Fleury, I think. And he got tired. And they still don't have a backup goalie. That's the one thing they're missing. They're missing Cam Talbot. You know, a goalie. They're missing Brian Elliott. They're missing, you know, Mike Smith. They need a veteran goalie who can take some of the heat off Fleury and play 25 games, not Malcolm Subban, who they're not all that sold on, but is young and they can get him cheap. But they've paid a lot.
Their big signing was William Karlsson, re-signed him,
kept him for less money than he probably could have got. He got the term and less money. They're very top heavy in their forward zone. They're making a lot of money, starting with Stone and Pacioretty and Stastny, whose contract fortunately is up in a couple of years. But then, you know, they've got Marchessault, they got Riley Smith, they got Karlsson. They got like six contracts that are big at forward, which is why they had a giveaway Halla. Eric Halla, a good player, and got nothing for him. And as we pointed out before, Gusev played in the KHL. He's got every bit as much talent as Panarin from the sound of things and the tons of points. He wants lots of money, and they can't afford it. So they're going to have to give away a player who could be a top six NHL player for draft picks only. And that's unfortunate, but good scouting on their hand. They got this guy and now they can't keep him.
And of course they're not going to, you know, the Oilers can't be in the running for him. And they're in the division anyway.
No, they'll trade him to a team that needs forwards and can also afford the dollars.
Yeah. Avalanche.
Avalanche. You got it. Second line.
I can see it on the back of the jersey.
Second line player and to play with Kadri. Second line player. Yep. They tried to get Panarin, couldn't get Panarin, but they can get Gusev.
That's the Oil Spills podcast for today. Subscribe to Oil Spills on iTunes and Google Play. You can also listen to it via the Edmonton Journal and Edmonton Sun apps and websites.